As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hunter, always powerful, always lively! What a start! Somerville in! A lightning start to the second half, just like the first. Rose ball, Rashford header! Never from Shaw, who gets it back from Sancho. And Sancho again, in! Welcome back to the fold for Jadon Sancho.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. It's just gone 11 p.m. and we are inside Old Trafford to react to Manchester United recovering just about from two goals down to draw 2-2 with Leeds. The winning run's over, the unbeaten one is continuing. And we've got to do it all over again on Sunday as well against the same opposition. We're going to react to the 90 minutes tonight, preview the 90 minutes on Sunday. And we also have the exciting opportunity to introduce a special guest to you as well. But first of all, I'm going to say hello to Andy Mitten.
Hello.
Was that all I'm getting?
Well, what do you want? You're going to ask me about the game. Ask me how I'm feeling. I'm feeling disappointed because Manchester United should have beaten a struggling Leeds United side. They actually did well. I thought United started both halves very poorly, conceded the goals, fell into a trap even. I was concerned that Manchester United would miss Casemiro, Christian Eriksen. I'm still concerned about that. I was a little bit uneasy coming into the game, not just because hundreds of Leeds United fans were walking down Sir Matt Busby Way with a police escort around them. I was just worried that because Leeds have been so bad and sacked the manager and Manchester United's results have been so good that there would be a trip up somewhere, and it's happened here. As a neutral, I think it was a fascinating game, but I'm not a neutral.
No, we're not neutrals, are we, in that sense, when we're recording a Manchester United podcast. I also need to introduce you to Carl Anker as well. Please say more than hello.
Evening, Ian. That was hectic. I did a little bit of an Andy Mitten celebration in the press box where you're not quite allowed to celebrate, but you do the all like, come on, give it up. There you are, when Sancho scored.
So he was flicking V's at the away end, Andy. He was getting really carried away.
I did double fists away.
He wasn't really. Always professional.
I would have done that. No, I'm joking. I think, so the last podcast I said 48 hours is too soon for a new manager bounce. Sorry about that. I guess 48 hours isn't. That was weird. Leeds were a lot better than I expected them to be. And it really took United 60 minutes and a couple of substitutions to figure out what they were trying to do.
Yeah. Weird. I think even the Leeds lot were pretty surprised by the reaction. Just in the row in front of me was the captain, Liam Cooper, who missed the match tonight with a knock. Stuart Dallas, who's a long-term injury absentee for them as well. They seemed pretty surprised at that first half showing. They were oohing and aahing at some of the moves in that first half. But again, we're not here to talk about Leeds United, are we? We're here to talk about Manchester United. Why were they so flat, Andy?
Not because the manager wanted them to be, and he told them at half time, don't make the mistakes that you made in the first half. And yet Manchester United did make the mistakes of the first half, caught cold twice, and you just cannot afford to do that against any opponent, less one who's fighting against relegation. There are a couple of Leeds players I thought did really well. Nonto impressed me a lot, and I know from speaking to some Leeds fans before the game that he has been one of the bright spots of a very poor season for them. And I was saying, you know, what have been your highlights this season? And like, well, there hasn't been any, but they were saying that in obviously a very strong Yorkshire accent, which I'm not going to try and take off. I just feel now that one win in four in the league in Manchester United, so it's turned into a little bit of a stumble, and it's a shame that, because results have actually gone the way of Manchester United, and had the team won tonight, then United would have been level on points with Manchester City. I just think it showed that the squad is still not there, and when you go beyond that strongest 11, it becomes a concern. There were bright spots. I thought Jadon Sancho was probably the brightest spot coming on. Obviously scoring Marcus's goal was very good as well, but equally there were a lot of negatives, and the game management, United's midfield was really poor.
It was, wasn't it? We'll definitely really talk poor. About that 100%. We need to give a shout out to Ryan Gray on Twitter. Listen to this, Russell, before I say anything.
I'm just having a sweet. I'm allowed a sweet.
That's Andy Mitten helping himself to Carl Anker's Maltesers. Ryan Gray on Twitter, who actually pointed out that every time on the podcast we mention the T word, the title race, Manchester United drop points, which is not actually our fault, but it's quite an accurate point that he's made there. Thank you for the Athletic Twitter account for putting that out before the game as well. We got a little bit of grief for that, and I imagine we'll get more after the draw tonight. Carl, in terms of the overall display for United, is it just a result of having a load of players missing? There were seven first teamers missing tonight, and in sort of probably five of those seven, you can say the starters, Wan-Bissaka, who's been the first choice right back of late, Casemiro, Eriksen, Martial, Antony, they all would have started that game, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think no Casemiro meant Manchester United lacked control and a stopper in central midfield. Leeds in particular want to play quite narrow and like loads of transitions, loads of counter-attacks through the middle area in particular. Casemiro just stops that dead. It's really good at slowing things down there without
makes
him.
It less chaotic as well,
yeah.
Because that was a big theme of the first half, especially
hugely. So without him, there was no just control in the central midfielders. Without Christian Eriksen, there was no consistent way of passing the ball into the final third. So there were loads of times where the ball went out wide a bit and nothing happened. Leeds were really focused on making sure Marcus Rashford wasn't getting on the ball. Rashford was playing on the right hand side because there was no Antony. You know, we all talk about what's Antony good at? When he's on the right-hand side, it just spreads out more play. You can't focus all the way on the left.
Keeps Rashford on the left as well, doesn't it? Which helps.
Keeps Rashford on the left. And with no Martial, meant Veghorst, again, played up front. He played, again, I find it hard to say anything on the Veghorst then. He's fine. He's fine, and he's creating space for others. But if you're a number nine striker for Manchester United, sooner or later, you need to start scoring goals. And it was interesting that it was only after Veghorst went off that Manchester United started putting in some crosses for Marcus Rashford. Weird.
I agree on Veghorst, but you do need service if you are a striker, and, and he didn't get any.
No.
And you can see that he's frustrated because, as you say, strikers need to score goals. Cracking header from Marcus that came in for a cross, but why wasn't Veghorst getting crosses like that? Maybe because it came after the changes. You can see that he's getting a little bit frustrated. Sabitzer as well, I think we should talk about him.
15 minutes in, there was a break in play and Sabitzer came over to the dugout.
Is it Sabitzer or Sabitzer?
You've not even worked out Veghorst yet.
I misspelt his name several times in my latest piece, and I got taken to task by Sam Brown. He went, guess how many times you misspelt his name? I went, four? He went, way more. I was like, oh, sorry.
So what is it then?
Marcel Sabitzer. Sabi to his mates.
Sabi. I'm not
call
him
Sabi. They call him Sabi in the Austrian team and the Bayern Munich team and Leipzig. So Sabi went over to Ten Hag.
You're not doing that, Carl.
I want to try. Remember the Rafael Varane?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
So Sabi went over to Ten Hag, and Ten Hag made a gesture, just like in a little circle with his right hand, of just basically, you need to recycle the ball. Because first half, everyone both on United and Leeds was trying to pass the ball forwards, and it was just chaos. Absolute mosh pit of a midfield. There were three or four times where both Sabitzer and Fred were making the same run, both in attack and defence. You're going, who's holding? It's just an absolute mess. Sabitzer got better in the second half. Eventually, there was one run he made in the second half where he was behind Fred, realised he was making the same run as Fred, and he sort of like he scanned a bit and went, oh, if I'm making the same run, someone else is free. I need to go cover that man. Peeled off, got to free Leeds man, and then eventually headed away the cross that was in for him. So he's smart enough to fix his own errors. But yeah, that was, I think, a game too soon and against an opponent that likes playing against that sort of porous midfield, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I think as well, he just looked like a player making his first appearance for a new team in a new league, didn't he, to be fair? And the way that Leeds work in the midfield and the extra work that they put in that first half in particular made it a pretty tricky start for him. Right, I teased it at the top. We have got a special guest. He's come to join us now. So if you're a fan of nicknames or White Russians, you're going to be pretty excited. It's Critch. Hello, Critch.
How are we doing? You all right?
It's very nice to have you on the podcast. Yeah, Mark Critchley, the new boy in town, shall we say. You're a regular, of course, at Old Trafford and at the Etihad Stadium. We'll talk about that a little less, perhaps, over the next 5 minutes or so. But what did you make of that tonight?
I think I agree with a lot of the points that were just made here, although I've taken a slightly more optimistic take on it. Given that we were here on Saturday, I just feel the last 15 minutes on Saturday really left an impression on me. Just the way that United had their backs to the wall, the way the crowd were up, the way that it just seemed to bring everything together that Ten Hag's worked towards over the last 6 months. And then I know tonight wasn't as good a performance, really, in totality, really, of the whole game. I know that they struggled at points. But that comeback also, I feel, is part of the same story, really, that we're seeing a different side to this United team, one that's building character gradually, one that's finding a certain bit of momentum. I was kind of surprised when Andy said they've won 1 in 4 before. You know, I hadn't noticed that. Of course, it's true. But it doesn't feel like that at the minute, because it still feels like, yes, it's the first season under Ten Hag. Yes, this team's still working towards something, but there is progress being made. And I think tonight was just one of those performances that you get in a debut season under a new manager. And it's to United's credit, really, that they came out with it with still something to show for it in the end.
Yeah, and protecting the run that they've had here as well, actually, in the league. I mean, they're unbeaten since that awful match on the opening game of the season against Brighton in the Premier League. They're unbeaten in all competitions since the first match of the Europa League campaign against Real Sociedad, which was so costly as well. There is a sense of progress in terms of the unity. I think I said on the last podcast, actually, that my biggest takeaway from Crystal Palace was the unity of the crowd. And I saw Erik ten Hag during that second half trying to get more out of the Old Trafford faithful, to try and cheer the players on a little bit more as they were trying to get back in that game. You wrote quite a bit about Sabitzer when he first arrived, did a bit of a backgrounder on him. Are we seeing enough from him in terms of his start? Are you expecting to see more from him, or is that him? Is that the player that United have got on loan?
I've got to be a bit sympathetic to my fellow debutant tonight, I think, you know. Yeah, Marcel Kritschitzber, does that work? Can you pronounce that one, Andy? I don't know.
You've just said it.
I've just said it.
There's fires.
Here we go.
You know, a man called Fred from Brazil has just walked past, and I was dying to somehow link him in.
Yeah.
Because we're pronouncing
Fred. He was
Fred
the best
wrong.
Fred from Brazil, yeah, in the stadium, yeah, tonight as well, Fred Caldeira.
Fredgy, though, isn't it? Fredgy. I think Sabi, I thought he did
thought
all right.
You do it as well.
It cannot have been easy for him to come into that team. He had two or three shots on goal, just went wide. Erik ten Hag talked about the chances Manchester United had, talked about converting them, should have been more ruthless in front of goal. But he did not frustrate me mate Sabi, as much as other players such as Garnacho and Fred or Fredgy.
Did Garnacho frustrate you?
Yeah, massively, mate.
Why?
Because he gave the ball away 4 times in the first 13 minutes. And I know he's talented. I know he's young. I know you've got to cut him slack. I know he's exciting. I know he can beat a man. But there's a massive but coming here. When you're playing first team football for Manchester United, you're going to be judged on how you perform. And I'll cut him loads of slack. I think he's done very well this season. But he gave away possession too much this evening. He did beat the goalkeeper, pull the ball back and shot, and it was cleared off the line.
Yeah, that one wide as well, which was pretty unlucky, although you could argue he should have scored.
Yeah, I think it's a disappointing result. And I get what Critch is saying. It's the first season, and this has been a good season. And we would have all have accepted this, where Manchester United are now, at pretty much any point. And it just feels frustrating. It's also why we love football, that Leeds United can come here and get that type of result and propel us into the weekend where you're thinking, this cannot happen again. Probably feel a bit more frustrated because Manchester United have been so good against Leeds United since they were promoted. It's the one team that they've been really consistent against. I think they scored 15 goals and conceded, I say only five, but that's now seven. So conceded quite a few goals, actually, to Leeds United.
That's what Leeds do, though, especially this season. Under Jesse Marsh, they have been the kings of chaos. I keep using the word chaos. I need to think of a different word. But anyway, do you agree on Garnacho, Carl? Just go back to that, because I thought it was an interesting point that Andy was so pointed in his criticism of him tonight.
No, I can see why you'd be frustrated at Garnacho. He played like an 18-year-old, right? In that when things weren't working, he tried doing it again and again, and you're going, maybe bump the ball back. Maybe make things simple. And one thing that is good and bad about Garnacho is he's never seen a defender he's not going to try and take on. We spoke before about how he's like, oh, it's just great when he gets the ball and he just runs at the guy. And yeah, you got on the ball at Leeds and just runs at the guy. And one thing that is slightly, not a problem, maybe a point of concern, is that Martial had the same problem as well a couple of seasons ago. He doesn't have a plan B when he gets caught out, other than I'm going to fall down now and try and win a foul.
That was quite concerning tonight, actually, because he did do that
more than once.
Yeah.
More than once, he had a situation where perhaps someone like Cavani, or, you know, I'm talking about experience like Cavani or Ibra, would have stopped, turned, held the back up, or, you know, Weghorst to a lesser degree, put your back towards the defender, look left and right, bump the ball back and keep possession. And he went, I'm going to put this in the referee's hands and maybe get a free kick. If the referee is going to give you the whistle, you're going to get the whistle. Today, the referee was not given many fouls and wasn't given pretty much any cards either way. So Garnacho was just losing the ball. And at a time where you're playing on the left-hand side because Marcus Rashford has to move on the right, you know, so this is one of those games where Garnacho starting is a favour because someone else is injured. You've got to be better with the ball. I talked to Ten Hag as part of the press conference afterwards and said, what I wanted to ask was, do you think the United players were unprepared for how much Leeds were going to try and punch you in the face? And Ten Hag was very much like, well, no, I told them exactly what you need to do and they need to be focused, and we weren't. And then I asked him again, went, well, the fans, no, it's not just Leeds as a football team, it's also Leeds as a fan base. Are you not worried that you're going to go to Ellen Road on the weekend, that'll be really loud and put you off your game? And again, Ten Hag went, no, we don't play a fan base, we play a football team. And he said, the first thing you've got to do is deal with the ball, and we didn't deal with the ball. I now want to ask Ten Hag, when you say deal with the ball, what do you mean? And then he went on a bit more about how the rules and the positioning, and he said the positioning for our first goal, one of our players made a mistake. I think he's telling off Bruno Fernandes there.
Bruno Fernandes, I interviewed after the game, he admitted that he felt he'd made a mistake in conceding that first goal. They said he didn't have the right amount of aggression for the second challenge in that move.
Bruno Fernandes has lost the ball on the right hand side more than once this season. It's led to a goal, so I think that's something that's going to be worked on by scouts both for and against United. To loop it all up, that is the Garnacho experience, a young man who has some flaws to his game, and he's trying to cover him up by going down for fouls rather than putting in a bit more intensity that Ten Hag will want.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Two more players that we need to talk about before we wrap up the section on tonight are Fred and Jadon Sancho. We've mentioned them a little bit, but we need to talk about them properly, I think. How many times exactly, Critch, do you think Fred lost the ball tonight?
Jeez, I was trying to count.
46.
Is that a conservative estimate? He was either losing it or just giving it away needlessly.
Why?
He just has these games every so often, doesn't he, where...
The bad Fred.
the bad Fred comes out and you just see this kind of erratic side to his game that we've always known has been there and will crop up on occasion. And then he'll put together a string of performances where he's perhaps given him more limited instructions and...
Exactly.
Things, yeah, and things come together for him. You know, it was only a few weeks ago that he did that man-marking job in De Bruyne, and we all came out of here thinking, well, you know, if anything,
why is he not playing more?
But key to this, if anything happens to Casemiro or Eriksen, then at least he's there to, and we've got a consistent Fred on our hands. Look, like tonight, I just think there's less said the better. I know we've got to talk about it because it was one of those, Fred, but really. You just come away from that thinking he's just got to try and forget about that game. Similar with Garnacho as well. I don't really want to just go back on him, but I think that Garnacho performance, it comes after he was subbed on and subbed off against Palace on Saturday. And it's just, at the minute, because of the amount of players that are out, because of the amount of players that are unavailable, some others are having a bit of exposure that perhaps is a little bit overexposure that they don't need at the moment. And I think that's true for Garnacho. He's got the excuse of being a teenager. Fred doesn't have the same excuse, clearly, but I think there is a pattern there and that there's a link between the two and again with some of the other performances that we saw as well.
Well, I'm impressed because you got Carl excited. He jumped up and down and said, exactly, that's the point. That's the point when you just started talking there. I guess you agree then, Carl.
Yeah, you've got to keep Fred's shopping list quite short. Otherwise, it gets really overcomplicated. There's a bit in the first half. He was on right centre mid and he tried for a crossfield ball to Garnacho and my face dropped. It's like, oh no, if he's trying to progress the ball, we're in trouble here. You don't want Fred doing too many things. And he enjoyed the chaos of Crystal Palace because the chaos of 10 men, his only job was just win the ball back. Where today he had to win the ball back and make passes. He tried one of these sort of back towards goal. He tried hitting it first time to the left. I know what he's trying to do. And this is the thing about Fred, where he's taking the ball, you know what he's trying to do, and the choice is nearly always the right thing, but you have no idea if that pass is going to come off, and it just got intercepted, and it's that thing of... Martin Tyler once said, Fred passes in the general direction of Luke Shaw, not at Luke Shaw. And I was like, yeah, that's what bad Fred is.
Sort of turned out to be quite accurate, yeah. Let's do Sancho then, because that's a lot better to talk about, Andy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seemed like the entire stadium was happy for him when he scored. Not just happy because United equalised, which is obvious, but that it was him that found the breakthrough.
I think Ten Hag has managed his situation very well and can feel vindicated in the plan which he pushed through for him to go to the Netherlands to try and get him back on track. And he was glowing in his praise of him as a potentially brilliant footballer. So I think he can see a huge amount of talent in Jadon Sancho. Thought he finished the goal well. Maybe the goalkeeper should have done better.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of moments this season. Remember when he put United ahead up against Liverpool there?
That was his first goal since the 1st of September, in the Premier League.
And first Premier League start since October. So I think he's probably the brightest point that we can talk about from this evening. Because he should be a better footballer than Garnacho, for example, for the reasons we've discussed with Garnacho. And this is still a huge month for Manchester United. You've got to go to Leeds again. And I get what Erik ten Hag's saying about you're not playing the crowd. But
I think you are on Sunday.
Well, he's never been to Leeds. And it is vicious. It really is. And I know that he's been to final with Ajax. And that is also vicious because I've been to that derby. But it will be a major factor. And they will be even more emboldened because they've got a draw here. They'll be thinking, we can actually do these on Sunday. And then after that, you've got the games against Barcelona and you've got the cup final. So February is a really significant month for Manchester United, carrying all of these injuries. So Jadon Sancho coming back in, scoring, is a real plus point for United.
Does he go straight into the starting lineup for Sunday, Carl?
If he can start, yes. So he didn't start today because he had illness. Ten Hag mentioned before in the press conference that he felt bad for Sancho because he would have brought him on against Crystal Palace apart from the red card. So Ten Hag clearly now has ideas for how many minutes Sancho can play. I'd like it to be more than half an hour. The interesting thing was Sancho came on the left-hand side, Rashford went up front. And another great thing, Sancho ran at his man without Luke Shaw overlapping. He just got on the ball and went, come on then. Well,
he was the funnel that Manchester United were attacking through, wasn't he, in the last 20 minutes of that game. It was all going down Jadon Sancho's side and through him.
You think about Omonia and Nicosia, where Sancho just didn't want to run at a fullback and was passing it back.
Really, that's the opposite tonight.
Yeah. And yeah, he had a sprinkle of the Garnachos in that he just kept going at Leeds defenders, gets that goal. The great thing about Sancho, and one reason he will always be worth goals or assists, is that little pause he does in the final third. So there are times where you expect the player to shoot and the defender goes for a block and he just puts his foot in the ball. Like, nope, I'm going to sell you that dummy. I'm going to shift the ball that way. Did that two or three times as well. Got a nutmeg in there. That's when also did another, like, get in. if Sancho can play 45 minutes of football, you play him for 45 minutes. I think you're
asking. Did you just say if he can play 45 minutes of football, you play him for 45 minutes?
Yeah. I'm not going to overdo it.
And if he can play an hour of football, you'd play him for an hour, would you?
I'm playing for 45 still. still playing for 45. I'll give him a go on the right. I'd ask him, well, me, the imaginary coach of Manchester United, imaginary director of football, whatever I pretend. I'd ask him if he fancies a go on the right-hand side, if Antony's injured or whatever, because I still do want Rashford on the left at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're putting a lot of work into Jadon Sancho at Carrington, and it's not just Eric Ten Hag. The coaches are working with him. I think he's got the belief of his teammates. He's had a hiccup. He got clattered tonight, didn't he? Did you see that?
He did.
Was it by Ayling?
Yeah. Real one on his ankle.
Yeah. And I just thought, that might not be a bad thing. This is like, bang, welcome to reality again. Yeah. You see it, Critch?
Yeah. He was down holding it for a little bit afterwards as well. It seems to
carried on, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We've
broken Critch already. I'm going to let you go and go and write your piece now. Yeah, but before you go,
I'm
what?
I'm dog sitting tonight. I've got to be back.
So. You're dog sitting?
Yeah, I'm dog sitting.
That's quite a thing to admit the first time you've come on the podcast, to be honest. Yeah. You're just adding to your reputation now.
Yeah.
What sort of dog are you sitting?
It's a cockapoo. Her name's Disco. She sits on the windowsill and stares out as I walk down the drive as I leave, and as far as I know, she's still there. So
I definitely need to let you
just
go then.
For you to come
my girlfriend's come back and is taking care of her now, but yeah, she when I left, she was on her own. So
I feel like we should play some sort of like Largo music, yeah, or whatever it is.
I seem distant or a little bit, you know,
that's where my mind
just
is
thinking
right
about now. The dog, okay, that's fine. Sure, what okay are you going to write about tonight though that people can look forward to
Jadon
see
Sancho
on The Athletic?
I was just so articulate on Jadon Sancho right there. I'm going to write about
not cockapoos.
No. I think it's Jadon Sancho because of everything that we've said just there. I think what Ten Hag was saying in his post-match presser afterwards was that that he's backing him, the coaches are backing him, the whole squad's backing him, and it's just up to for himself to finally do it himself. And I think what you've seen tonight is the first few steps of that. I totally agree that goal is a moment that everyone at this stadium has been waiting for several months, but also definitely over the past week, because his reception that he got in the Carabao Cup game against Forest was honestly one of the more heartwarming moments that I've had in covering United for the last 5 or 6 years. Just really good to hear. And I also love the fact that Leeds fans were singing Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, Let Your Country Down, then both of them go and score, by the way, at the end. That was enjoyable as well. But no, I think just that moment has been something that this whole stadium has been waiting for, and it ties into what I was saying before about the sense of unity that you get around the place, the sense that there's a connection with the crowd and the team and the manager and everything just about the club at the minute. I know it was a disappointing result tonight, but I think the fact that Sancho played a huge part in getting that comeback was really key and is definitely the big plus point to take. So yeah, that'll be my piece.
Well said. Go and pet Disco. Thank you, Critch. So here's that Russell again. Andy's helping himself to yet another Malteser. Carl and I have not had one yet. But anyway, let's talk about the match on Sunday. You teased it before, Andy, about Manchester United playing the occasion and the atmosphere at Elland Road. You've written extensively over the years about the rivalry between Manchester United and Leeds. There's a piece on The Athletic at the moment, a fresh one, the latest take on this War of the Roses type thing that doesn't really apply but does, as we agreed on the last pod.
Ten Hag said it, so... Yeah. Ten Hag called it the Match of the Roses on Tuesday, so he's been told.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Certainly. It's just different there, isn't it, this match? I mean, yes, the atmosphere was great at times tonight, but at some points, the loudest people in here still were the away end, weren't they? They loved this game.
Yeah. I've not seen any set of away fans walk down St Matt Busby Way this season like the Leeds United fans did. It felt very visceral, very real. They were pumped up with aggression. It was pretty intimidating. I didn't feel intimidated, but I could see that someone who wasn't used to that might feel intimidated.
You're hard though, aren't you? Well, in the piece you said about actually getting knocked over at Elland Road once. You didn't say that on the last podcast.
Yeah, he said it before, hasn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't knocked over. It was punched to the ground.
Well, I didn't want to be dramatic like you.
I was a young idiot, wasn't I? I was 18 years old and thought it would be a good idea to start singing about Manchester walking past the bit where all the Leeds nutters go into. So I learned a lesson that day. And
knocked a bit of sense into you, some said.
Yeah, it might have done. When they walk past tonight, I'm really struck by that because it really means something to them. And I like that. I don't like the fact that it could have turned to violence. And there were actually some skirmishes on the forecourt. There was a huge police presence here tonight.
That's really rare, that these days, really, as well,
rare,
isn't it?
Really rare. Against Liverpool in August, I saw like six or seven little Scouse urchins looking for trouble. And I was struck by that. But tonight, it was like half the away end just walked in together. They were singing really strong songs. I was speaking to a Leeds fan at the time, actually, and he said, which was quite right, there's no place for this on both sides. And it's pretty horrible. Really nasty side to this rivalry. I do like the edge, not going that far, but that was a brilliant away end tonight. Did you see how much it meant to them when they went ahead? When I looked across to them, I was like, gutted. But if you're in there, I can't pick on Bournemouth again. But
you're going to.
There's no way the Bournemouth end would have been like that.
Poor Bournemouth.
Poor Bournemouth.
I don't know. Right, let's talk about the actual match then itself, or at least the management team, actually, before we get into the match, Carl. Michael Scabala was leading the management team tonight. There was a couple of familiar faces, Chris Armas and Ewan Sharp, in the backroom staff at Leeds. They've only just arrived, or certainly Chris Armas has. 13 days between him arriving at Leeds and Jesse Marsh departing on Monday, which is interesting. I saw him before the game saying hello to some of the Manchester United backroom staff who were here last year, Eric Ramsey, Richard Hartis as well, one of the goalkeeping coaches. It doesn't sound like Leeds are definitely going to have a new manager for the game this weekend. They might do, but I don't think it's a guarantee. It doesn't sound like it's imminent. Would it be a good thing or a bad thing for United if they went with that same caretaker team again?
They seem to have something about them. Chris Armas, for those keeping score at home, Chris Armas had one AirPod in. No confirmation as to where information was being fed to him.
He can't have been using the transparency setting because he wouldn't have been able to hear anything, would he?
Yeah, I don't think he was getting tactical information fed in from Moscow this time. There was a point in the first half where he came out from the touchline and kept pointing to Diogo Dalo and Nonto and kept referring to the space between him. And it looked as if he wanted Nonto to get in behind Dalo and said, I can't lip read, but it looked as he was trying to say there's space in behind, just keep going at him, and Dalo isn't as quick as Nonto. Which is, that's good information if you've managed Dalo for half a season and you know what, who's faster and whatnot. So, yeah, mildly concerning that bit. Dalo, that was his first start since the defeat against Aston Villa.
It looked like it as well, didn't it?
Yeah. He's just recovered from a hamstring injury, and yes, Aaron Bissaka was ill. Feels odd to say, that was a game for Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Against Nonto, definitely.
Yeah, that was a game for, I'm just going to make slide tackles and I'm going to stop you from coming in, and whatever happens ahead of me, it happens ahead. Dalo hopefully will improve better as he just gets a bit more minutes around him. But the coaching question with Leeds, if they play like that again at Elland Road, big, big questions need to be asked about Manchester United's wide players, fullbacks, and that Rashford and one other setup.
Yeah, there's definitely things for Erik ten Hag to consider that hopefully we'll have learnt from tonight. You imagine if they did get a new manager, it would give them even more of a lift ahead of Sunday as well. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Of course, the very latest Phil Hay will have, I'm sure, on The Athletic on Leeds' search to replace Jesse Marsh.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
I'm not sure whether anyone other than Aaron Wan-Bissaka is going to be back for this game. Eric Ten Hag is going to speak again tomorrow in his press conference, but it's only in about 12 hours' time, so yeah. I'm not sure he's going to have much of an update for us.
It's coming thick and fast. Talking about the Leeds coaches, how many people are you allowed in that area, that little box?
400 tonight.
Right, so I picked up on it, right, yeah? Because there were times when there was three of them in there.
And yeah, but in fairness, that did happen quite a lot last season for United. Yeah, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Michael Carrick, Mike Phelan, all at the same time, often would be in the dugout together.
So are you allowed as many as you want in there? Because I thought it might have been two.
I think it's just the unique architecture from Old Trafford.
Right.
Are we going to talk about the camber again?
We can't talk about the camber again. Apparently, it's talked about quite a lot on television. And we were talking about it like it had never been spoken about before. But
do you know there's a camber at Old Trafford, by the way? And it's just like a crown on the top of the pitch. It drops off quite steeply at the sides. We're looking at it now. I mean, I walk up and down it every home game, and if it's slightly wet, it can be quite precarious. Anyway, that's not that interesting.
Just describe this stadium, what you see now, because it is beautiful. And I know people say it's past it, it's fading. Look at it now. It is a cavity of absolute magnificent redness. And I think that red always looks better than blue inside a stadium with the seats.
Just I wonder why you say
beautiful.
That.
I just look at it. It's a really good stadium. This stand needs sorting out. And look at them rail seats. That is really working now, that they've got sections of rail seats inside Old Trafford. And if you want to bring all your mates and stand in the technical area, you're clearly allowed to do that. According
on your day out to Old Trafford as the Leeds caretaker team, why not? Can we just talk a little bit more about Wout Weghorst, just to wrap this up, Carl, please? Because he was a topic in the press conference to preview this game of Erik ten Hag. The record of one goal in six games, as it was, and he's just had another Malteser, which is now 1-7. He's finished the bag. It doesn't matter necessarily that he's not scoring if the team is playing well and that the team is scoring. But Marcus Rashford's been moved into centre-forward twice now in 3 or 4 days and almost immediately found the back of the net. Is it time for Rashford to be starting games through the middle again?
No. And please take note of the pause I did there. Ten Hag was asked this question after the draw. And Ten Hag has this habit now where he brings up, if you ask him about an effective second-half substitution, he won't say, I'm going to do that for next game. He says, it was a good second half substitution because the opponent got used to what the first guy did. So he said this about Bruno Fernandes moving over to the right hand side after Antony, and he said this about Wout Weghorst, which is basically the first lad does a great job beating him up, getting him used to one thing, and it's only the second lad that you benefit from that. So you're playing Wout Weghorst, the guy's going to collect the ball, he's going to receive with his back towards goal, he's not very quick. Rashford comes in, moving in behind all the time. So that makes sense. You start with Rashford moving in behind all the time. Weghorst receiving his back towards goal in the second half is not really a better variation. So, you got to put Rashford on the left. I still, that's his best position. If you do want him to play up front, you need to have another playmaker on top of Bruno Fernandes behind Rashford who can get him the ball. That secondary playmaker could, pulling a face, be Jadon Sancho, but I don't know if Jadon Sancho can play 90 minutes yet. So
Well, and you've also got as well that it'd be Jane and Sancho, Sabitzer and Fred as your midfield three, which is a complete change from what we had.
Very porous.
two matches ago, especially going somewhere like Elland Road, which we've already talked about, the challenge that will be. This is a bit of a challenge for Ten Hag, isn't it, Andy? Because actually, we've talked a lot about him not rotating very much, and all of a sudden, we're talking about a team who finished with Victor Lindelof in central midfield. Palestri made his Premier League debut 800 and odd days after joining the club. Even the front line of Garnacho on the left, Weghorst up front, and Marcus Rashford on the right looked a little off. The midfield was changed.
This is where the squad is. It's not looking like a team which has the talent to be able to win a league title. I think Palestri does have something. I thought he did all right when he came on. I don't know where where it's going with Victor Lindelof playing in the middle. I'm pausing here because I can see a space in that stand where there's no flag, and I'm just wondering if City get like properly done for cheating. Do you remember that odometer they used to have here, and each year it used to go up every year that City didn't win a trophy? If they get really done and they have all the trophies stripped, can we reintroduce it and just put it back over there? And how many years would it be like 46 years then without City winning a trophy? I'm sorry, this is how my mind is working, but I definitely know other Manchester United fans will have thought of this in light of the recent news that Manchester City may have been naughty boys 115 times. But if that odometer came back here, can you remember it?
I do remember it, yeah. It was black with white writing. Yeah, I do. I loved the detail of that because it was an odometer, that you could just about see the next number, which implied that it was going to go to the next number as well. City that was fans, a good detail, that.
City fans hated it. And I can
imagine, yeah.
They properly hated it. I heard of a couple who paid to come on the tour here just so they could get into the ground with the idea of wrenching it. And that was like the symbol of everything that they absolutely despised.
Well, we need to win at the end of this month, otherwise they might be starting to consider putting one up for us. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and win cleanly and win fair and square against a very good Newcastle United team. But yeah, it has been too long since Manchester United won a trophy. I think that would be a very tough game, actually, against the Geordies, who showed how good they are at Old Trafford. But it's good to be in the mix and to feel disappointed because we're not beating Leeds United. It feels like it matters. It's real, and that we're getting frustrated shows that expectations have risen. But it's still annoying that United have not beaten Leeds at Old Trafford.
Yeah, it certainly is. Remember then, don't forget, Carl is clicking.
One thing that I did find mildly concerning, Leeds were very content to let Rafael Varane get the ball. So they pressed everyone apart from Rafael Varane. I went, all right, you know, you can pass and progress, because Rafael Varane likes passing sideways. He carries a little bit, but unlike Maguire, who goes all the way past the halfway line, he gets to the point and goes, no, I'm getting a nosebleed here. Who
he
wants
nearly
it?
Scored.
I mean, I know he did score at the wrong end.
Nearly scored a header. But this is a thing that's happened in two or three games. Southampton at St Mary's did it, and I want to say Crystal Palace have done it as well. So there have been two or three bottom half sides that very clearly go, Martinez's passing's too good, Shaw's passing's very, very good, Dallow's getting good at getting a half space. Press all them, just let Varane get it, and then we should be fairly fine. So okay, Something to keep an eye on for Sunday.
Well, let Varane forward, let him score, because he did really well to win that header. And that's sort of a decent.
You love Varane, don't you? You always have a lovely. There's this look on his face that you can't see it on a podcast, but it's just sort of like there's a glow, there's a Varane glow, isn't it?
He's a world class player, and he shows it. He's absolutely fantastic, and he is one of the main reasons why Manchester United have become so good this season, along with Casemiro, who I like even more because he's the most important player. And Martinez, I like him as well. I thought he played well tonight. If we're going to finish this on a high ahead of a trip to Yorkshire at the weekend, Lisandro Martinez.
He's going to love Elland Road, isn't he? Absolutely. Right, don't forget, there is a special podcast price of £1.99 a month if you want to join and subscribe to The Athletic. Just go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod. But thank you to Carl.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Andy.
Thank you, Ian.
And thank you to Critch, who will be now off somewhere with a White Russian in one hand and Disco in the other. That was an interesting revelation, wasn't it? I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you after the next game against Leeds. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.